Tonight again we continue with our studies on the doctrine of God, His nature and attributes. And this will be part 20 of this series. Last week we looked at the justice or the righteousness of God. And from this we learned that God's righteousness is not according to any law. And thus we saw that for us as His creatures, He has set for us what should be the standard of our righteousness. And yet, though we say God's righteousness is not according to any law, because His righteousness comes from His own will, as His will is perfect, holy, and sovereign, yet the Lord will always do the right thing. He wouldn't, like tyrant and despot who, abuses their power. God is holy and just, and He will always do the right. And we also learn that His will is that which determines what is just, so that as His creatures, we have no right to judge His actions. What He does and what He determines is what is just, and that if the Lord has done it, that is right and just. And that is which tells us that His righteousness is far above and far beyond ours. Ours is within the confines which He has given us. Because there are many things which God does that we cannot understand. Sometimes we think that the Lord has done things. And even the prophet Jeremiah last week was thinking of Habakkuk. Yeah, Jeremiah was thinking of why should the wicked prosper in this world and the people of God suffer. You know, God is just in all that He does. No, nobody can reprove Him for that. He's always just. His will, as I said, is the rule of justice. Tonight we continue and we look at the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And I turn to reading Lamentations chapter 3 to begin with. Lamentations chapter 3, verse. I read to you verse 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. These are the words of prophet Jeremiah. And here he was contemplating on the mercies of God, which has preserved he in a remnant of the Jews after the destruction of the kingdom of Judah by the Chaldeans, when they came to ransack Judah and Jerusalem was leveled to the ground, the temple was destroyed, and that the few were saved, and then Jeremiah himself was left, and he was contemplating what the Lord has done, and also how even his anger against such sinful nation, his people who have sinned against Him, and the Lord should still spare Himself and few of them for His own name's sake. And he was thinking of that. And what Jeremiah is saying here is that it's very essential aspect of God's mercy. When we think of God's mercy, that He said His mercy never fails, and that He daily supply them to the needy. That's what is meant here. The Lord, of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning, and it great is Thy faithfulness. That God daily supply all the needy for His mercy. So it is refreshed every morning. That is daily He gives. So this is a very important aspect of God's mercy, that it never ceases. It is never He renews it. If He doesn't renew it, then all men should perish, because we deserve not such from His hand. So, but God's mercy, when we think of God's mercy, it is His ever willingness merely to relieve His creatures in miseries. His ever readiness and out of His own goodwill to relieve his creatures in misery. That his mercy is to relieve his creatures in misery without any reason from even those that he can't relieve. And the source of his mercy is in himself. God's mercy comes from himself, and he's not moved by anything to show mercy. It is in himself that he just moved to show mercy out of his own self without any thing that really moves him to do so. And his mercy comes from himself, and that is, it is from him that every mercy is derived. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, we are told, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts." The Father of mercies. He alone is the Father of mercies. And when we say God is the Father of mercies, it partly means that he is the author and giver of mercies, both temporal and spiritual, both for our present life here and for the eternal good of his people. He is the Father of mercies and God of all comforts. And again, also the Father of mercies also implies that it implies his abundant mercies, as his mercies exceeds all his creatures' woes. There is no suffering, there is no misery that the mercy of God is not able to relieve. See, there's no pain, suffering, trouble that the Lord's mercy is not able to relieve. If he will exercise his mercy toward anyone who is in misery, he's able to completely relieve such one in misery. See, in Psalm 145, verse 8 to 9, we are told his misery covers all his creatures. Psalm 145, verse 8 to 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His mercies are over all his works. That his mercies exceeds and reaches to all his creatures. So that as we are, the Bible tells us, he's the Father of mercies, that in all the world and even beyond, whatever mercies are shown to the sufferers, it is from him. It can come directly from him, or he may move others to show mercy. Whichever way in which mercy is shown, it comes from him. So that whenever people have felt the pity, the sympathy of others, and to relieve them in whichever way it is from him. Without him, none is able to show mercy to anyone. And also, the merits of his creatures are not the cause of his mercy. So that those that God shows, I mean, he manifests his mercies to, none deserves it. None of us merit anything from him, because none of us pleases him. We are told that with the angels, and his angels are not be pure in his eyes. So that none deserves, we don't have any virtue in us that calls for him to show us mercy when we are in trouble. And even those who are in trouble, there's nothing in them that moves him to show mercy. It's not merely that people suffer that God gives mercy. He himself, he shows mercy. Not because people are suffering that he shows mercy. No, he is ever showing mercy to all. Even the merit of Christ, by his obedience, sufferings, and death, is not the source of the mercy of God. The mercy of God displayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, his work and merit is the means of display of mercy of God. So that the source of God's mercy is in himself, as I said before. That even the one, as I said, is displayed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the means to secure for us this mercy. The mercy of God is in Himself. In Luke 1:78, and we are told that through His own mercy, the day spring from on high, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, spring, I mean, that we were able to have the blessings of His mercy through Him. Luke, let me just read down Luke 1:78. Luke 1:78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us. So you see that it is through His tender mercy that this day spring of on high is going to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, is coming as to bring peace, comfort, and salvation to us. It is through through the tender mercy of our God. It is through the mercy of God that the Lord Jesus Christ came to show us such a salvation. So that, as I said, that mercy is in Himself. It is by His own desire and His own will to show mercy. Nothing moves Him to show mercy to His creatures. And often, if you look at the history of Israel, even when we read that. In Egypt, God looked upon their misery and then came to their aid. And they deserve that mercy that the Lord brought to them. The Lord had Himself promised Abraham that He will bless his descendants. So the Lord showed them mercy according to His own promises, not because they were suffering merely, but because He had promised to keep or bless the descendants of Abraham, to form them a nation through which the Messiah will come. So the Lord Himself came to their aid, not because they were suffering merely, but because He, their covenant God, has promised to show mercy to them. And when we think of His mercies, as I said, that none of His creatures merit His mercy, so that when we are suffering, that it should come to our aid. And the worst, so when we think of ourselves as sinners, then we know that if not that His mercies are infinite, then God will never show us any mercy, because even when we have not sinned, it is of His mercy, His own goodwill to show us mercy. And to think of ourselves as sinners, that God should show us mercy, He tells us that God's mercy is far deeper in such a sense. God displays His other attribute to our benefit because of His mercy. God is willing to manifest His attributes, His wisdom to plan and His power to perform anything that is meant to relieve our happiness is because of His mercy. God, before God will show any good to us, God doesn't need to show His goodness to us or to do anything for us, to even manifest His attribute to us. But it is out of His own mercy to show, so that His wisdom plan, all the good of His people, and His power are poised to perform all that He is willing to do for us. Because He wants to relieve us and make us, bless us. That's all. That is from Himself. I give a quote from William Whitehurst. He says, God delights in the manifestation of all His attributes, but chiefly in the exercise of His mercy. Now God, though all His attributes are glorious, and He delights to manifest all, but then we see that He Himself delights to show mercy, and that His attributes show brighter through His mercies. This prophet Micah captured for us. Who is a God in Micah chapter 7 verse 18? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighted in mercy. God delights in mercy. And It shows us that God, because we know that His mercy seems to be opposite of His justice. His mercy seems to be opposite, but it is not opposite. All His attributes work together, and they are all one in Him. They are not separated. We learn of them, that's why we separate them and pick them one by one, but they are all one in Him. So, again, which has says, acts of vengeance are not so pleasing to Him as acts of mercy. Though His justice and all that He is, He shows it, and but then His mercy, His act of mercy seems to be more pleasing to Him in our eyes. Act of vengeance, He says, not pleasing to Him as act of mercy. And says, act of mercy flows from Him freely on His own accord, but act of vengeance only when He is provoked. So you see that mercy, nothing moves His mercy, but then when we compare mercy to justice, for His justice to be manifested, God's justice must be provoked. Then He brings His justice. So it's like His justice, we merit His justice somehow in us, because then He, through His justice, He pays. He repays those who deserve it. But for His mercy, we do merit it. It's from His own free will to show mercy. But then, as I said, if you compare it to His justice, justice is shown when God is provoked, that He has to bring punishment. In Lamentation, we just read Lamentation 3, verse 33. For He says, for He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So that only when we think of injustice, when God is provoked, when people rebel against Him, then He brings His justice. But for His mercy, nothing moves Him to show mercy. He merely freely gives it out, and from His own will. I mean, and in James also, we have James 2:13, mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy. So we, in comparison to justice, we see here that His mercy is to us as sinners, and to us as His creatures, is more delight. We delight in His mercy more. And as we see that God Himself, He delights to show mercy to us. And so going forward, there's a difference between the mercy of God and the mercy that is in man. Sometimes we think of God's mercy, and we, by our own way of showing mercy, then we think of how God's mercy is. But then, God's mercy is far different from ours. Though from His we are able to show mercy, it's far different. Mercy in man is always with fellow feeling for the miseries of others. People show mercy to others because we are all what? Fellow sufferers. Out of sympathy, because we feel that people, the suffering of people, we also have suffered the same, or may suffer the same. So we show mercy to others and pity them. But the mercy of God is not prompted by anything outside of Himself. It's out of His own kindness to help all in need. And besides, God is not subject to sufferings. So that though we show mercy to others because we feel ourselves as fellow sufferers, He cannot suffer. By the nature of God, He's perfect. Suffering is for imperfect creatures. Imperfect beings, sorry. For imperfect beings such as us. God is perfect and suffering. Yes, God cannot suffer. So that if God is showing mercy, it's not because He feels the same way we suffer. No, God does not suffer. So that His mercy, showing mercy, His mercy doesn't depend on fellow feeling, as we say, fellow feeling. His mercy is purely free out of His kindness, not because He feels our pains. You see? Not because He feels our pains. God doesn't feel the pains that we feel. God is not a man that is not imperfect that He should suffer. When I say God doesn't feel our pains,
we should not think of the mercy we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thinking of God's mercy entirely. But the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ is secured for believers. So for that one, we are thinking of, we can think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a high priest who feels who sympathizes with us. But when you think of God's mercy entirely, purely the source and coming from Him, perfectly as it is, and from Him, God doesn't suffer. See, God doesn't suffer. So His mercy is not out of fellow feeling. It is purely, it's not moved by fellow feelings. It's purely out of His own kindness to do good. He doesn't, the way to say, feel our pains when He gives us, He shows mercy. And yet, per His character, and as mercy is in Him, He ever willing to show mercy to sufferers. So that's the difference between mercy in us and that of mercy in God, as we think of it perfectly in God. So mercy in God is infinite, eternal, and immutable as Himself. So we see another difference also is that God's mercy is boundless. God's mercy is eternal and immutable as Himself. So you see, that is why it's also different from human mercy. When we think of God's mercy, human mercy does not endure forever. Our fellow feeling for others and sympathy doesn't endure forever. It's not eternal. It is immutable. See, today we can feel sorry for one person. Tomorrow we don't care about such person again. But God's mercy, when He manifests it, is something that doesn't change if He intends to show it. And also, and the Bible tells us in Psalm 118, verse 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His good, for His mercy endureth forever." God's mercy endures forever. And that this distinguishes His mercy from us. And God's mercy is common to all the three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Spirit. As when we think of the mercy of God in God as His attributes as we see it. And as I said, that when we think of His mercy that was secured in the Lord Jesus, that's aspect of His mercy which is secure for us. But when we think of His mercy as a whole in Him, is not moved from by fellow feelings, as we have feelings for one another because we are fellow sufferers. God cannot suffer. And that is one important aspect of the mercy of God. God doesn't suffer like us, so that His mercy will be moved from fellow feelings for the suffering of people. So that when the Bible says God came to see the suffering of His people, so that God Himself has feeling the suffering of Himself. No, God doesn't suffer. It is merely out of His kindness, and mostly, as we see, He promises to show mercy. And for example, as I give the example of the people of Israel in Egypt, God came to see their suffering because God has promised Abraham that He will bless his descendants, that He will make them a nation. And so out of His own promise to bless and to bless the descendants of Abraham, He showed his mercy to them. So you see, so it is from His own self that He showed such mercy. Okay, we have, when we think of God's mercies and how it is displayed, we have two kinds. In the scriptures, God's mercies are of two kinds. We have general and special mercy of God. And often, when people think of God's mercies, they sometimes don't distinguish it because they think, well, it is true, it is God's mercies that this and that and that happened. But then the Bible teaches us there's a difference in God's, how He manifests His mercies. The general mercy of God, this one is with respect to the general, all creatures in general. All His creatures benefit from this mercy, and He manifests it to all His creatures. And again, I quote to you Psalm 145, verse 9. "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." His tender mercies are over all His works. So that all people enjoy the kindness of God, He distributes freely to all people health, strength, and capabilities and provisions necessary for the temporal relief of life in this world. So God, in this general measure of God, the health, the strength, and the provisions of life necessary for this temporal life, God gives to all. God gives to all in this world. And that we are told in the Bible that God is kind to all people, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45. When God dispenses natural things, everyone has. I mean, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, when he rains, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and what? His rain on the just and the unjust. This has to do with his distribution of things of this world freely to all, so that his enemies, sinners who will not even repent and come to him, he does good to them. I mean, all the good things of this life, for this world, God distributed merely out of mercy for his creation. So you see that God is good to all, and that all the good things of this life he distributes to all, and this is purely out of his general mercy to all, so that even the distribution of the natural resources of this world, all the nations of the earth have their portion of it, and this one God gives to all to enjoy. And when we have this general mercies, we have any of them for our own, it doesn't mean that God is pleased with us. God is pleased with us because we have these mercies, because he just distributing it to all his creatures. The words of Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5:45 says, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So that the things of this life, the possessions, whether health-wise, whether strength, capabilities, or provision, whatever it is that people have in this world, doesn't mean that God is pleased with them. Here, he gives these things to all out of his general mercy to the world. As all his works, he's kind that he manifests or exercises this goodness to all. So we draw from this that when we have worldly prosperity, it does not indicate that God is pleased with us. You know that many people are deceived by this when they think of God pleasing with them when they are, quote unquote, have prosperity of this world. Then you know that this is where this prosperity doctrine draw this idea that God blesses us when we have many of the things of this world, whether health, when we are not sick, and we have healings, and we have possessions, and we have connection, we have advantages, then they say God is blessing us. No, this is a general blessing to the world. This one, health and strength, capabilities and provisions, and the things of this world, God gives both the evil and the good. So that God's people are not to base their, though we are grateful to the Lord for even these temporal mercies that he gives to all, and yet God's people are not supposed to rest in these things. I'm not supposed to make these things the blessing that they have to seek from the Lord. God himself gives to all. Those who worship idols and those who don't worship idols, they have the things of this life in Nicole. And sometimes even those who doesn't know God have much of the world's gifts. Often it's like that. Much of the world, God in mercy gives out, and even much of it goes to those who doesn't know him. And it is God's own doing. And so that this general mercy should not be when we are deprived of them, so that we don't have much of the comfort of this life, it doesn't mean that God is displeased with his people. You see, it doesn't mean that God is displeased with his people, because those that are his enemies, that he doesn't even care about him, doesn't want to repent of sin, and they want to even live against his will, God gives them abundance of this things of this world, of this life. Even, and also we have been warned about the things that God, I mean, God has distributed of this life, because it's only for this world alone. It's only for the good of this life. So that the Lord Jesus Christ, warned that if a man have the whole world, gain the whole world and lose his soul, what will he gain? So the next temporal mercy that we have, this temporal, a relief of this life, we are not supposed to put our hope in them. It is rather supposed to show us that God, who is so kind to give all these things to the world by his sheer mercies, is the God that we have to seek after him and to know him and to have a relationship with him and to make him our God. Because naturally we don't have God as our God. We don't love him. We hate him from our mind because of our sinfulness. But God in mercy should distribute all these good things in life so that it should move our heart to see how God is so kind, and that it should move us to seek him and to know him for ourselves. Because we must not stay with the provisions of this life and say, oh, okay, since we have it, then God is pleased with us. No, it must move us to seek him and to know him. And Apostle Paul used a similar argument in Acts chapter 14 when he told them that God, though he has led the world, I think one in chapter 14, one in chapter 17, the world to, he has made the world, many people in the world to full of idolatry and all that, but he has not left the world without a witness that he has done good to us, and he filled our hearts with food and seasons, good seasons, to fill us with all good. And yet, how many of us think of that and want to seek and to know him? Many use it and abuse it. Many want to enjoy the temporal mercies and blessings of this life, and even to abuse it, to use it to sin against the God who gave us. How many in the world are not wasting their time for the things of this life? They waste all their time to acquire them, and they will then leave it there and go. And one thing is that all that we have in this life, as the Bible tells us, when we come to die, we leave it and go. That is why God, though he has allowed us to have them, he doesn't want us to put our hope in these things that we have in this life. It is something he gives us to relieve us for our life here on earth. And out of it, we should seek him to know him for ourselves and to become his people. So, that is the general mercy of God. But as I said, naturally, we are prone to hang on and to embrace these temporal mercies and forget ourselves that we need that mercy that will make us really enjoy the good things of eternity. And the other aspect that naturally moves on, that special mercy that God gives. The general one is his mercy, and there's also that special mercy that he gives. And this special mercy God gives to those alone whom he chooses to be his people. Not all the people in this world are his people. And the Bible is clear. In this world, there are two kinds of people. God's people and the world. Men of the world. Those who are not so. Because after the sin came in, into the human race, there has always been two kinds of people in this world. You see, those who are his people and those who are who God chooses for himself. He must first choose us before we become his people. You see? So he gives this special message to his people that he chooses for himself. And it is by this special message that he saves some out of all the people in this world who are ruined in sin and deserving his justice into an eternal relationship with himself. And this is done by forgiving their sins and bestowing all the blessings of his eternal love and grace. What I mean is this, that this that he chose for himself as his people, he manifests special mercy to them, and that through this special mercy he saves, because all this world, all people in the world, are sinners who deserve his justice. We are all children of wrath. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are all children of wrath because we are all born in sin. We deserve to be punished in eternal hell, to be separated forever from him, because from our mother's womb, we are separated from him. That's what the Bible teaches us. From their mother's womb, begin to speak lies. And we are defiled with sin in our nature, and we live in this world to also sin. So we all deserve His justice. None of us deserve this special mercy from Him. And then, but for Him to bring people that He chooses to Himself, He must forgive their sin. So this special, by this special mercy, He forgives their sins and what? Bestow blessings of what? Eternal love and grace. That He will choose to love them for eternity and manifest to them freely blessings of eternity. Such persons we have in the Bible, we have Enoch, Noah, Abraham, David, and all who are believers, all who are God, the Bible describes as God, all who are described as those who love and keep His commandments. God's people are distinguished with this. They love and keep His commandments, and those such people, He says, He will keep mercy for them forever. And let me read, we have Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, when the Lord speaks about His people. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my. And this mercy He has to do with forgiveness of sins. Going before the verse 5 down to verse 5, he spoke of what? Visiting iniquity, which has to do with punishment. When we give in people for their deservings for sinning against Him, but then He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love and keep His commandments. So God's people that He chooses for Himself, they are described as those that keep His commandments and love Him. And in Psalm 103, they are described as those who fear Him. Psalm 103, verse 10 to 11. Psalm 103, verse 10 to 11. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. So you see that this special mercy is always connected with His forgiving, His forgiveness. You see, so that those people that He chooses to Himself, that He made them His people, and manifest these special mercies, they are those who are forgiven. Because all of us have said deserve His punishment for our sins. So that those that God will manifest this special mercy to them, they are those that He has forgiven their sins. Those that He has brought them into a state. Because when God is holy and God is pure, how can He choose people to Himself who are sinners against Him? Until their sins are been taken care of, until they are not sinners, and who is not a sinner, who have been born into this world. So, except the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, He took our human nature but without sin. So, for us to be brought into a relationship with God and to become His people, He must manifest this special mercy, which He doesn't show to all people in the world, but only those that He chooses to Himself. So, because that's what we call a special mercy, because God doesn't manifest His forgiveness to all the people in the world, but to those that He chooses for Himself. And as I said, they are often described those who love Him and keep His commandments, and those who fear Him. It is He who has made them to love and keep His commandments. And this mercy which we are talking about here, I give example the instance of people that these mercies were manifested, like Enoch, because we are told that Enoch walked with God. How could Enoch, who descended from Adam and Eve, walk with God? His sins were forgiven. God cannot walk with those whose sins have not been purged or taken away. Noah, you remember, before the destruction of the world by water, God said Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That special favor was given to Noah. Noah was a sinner like any other, but God showed mercy. Abraham, remember, was the Bible picture him as an adolescent, but God had called him and brought him to himself and justified him even before he made him he gave that circumcision and other things to, as a mark of his relationship with him. But then David himself also, we remember the sure mercies of David. David also was given that special mercy, which the Bible calls the sure mercies of David. And David, even at the time of his death, before his death, he said that he knew that he has not even ordered his house well, and he knew that he has not been as he was supposed to be, but he knew that God, the message of God is salvation, is his hope and salvation, that God will be faithful, God is faithful to maintain the promises made to him. And so David died trusting in such special mercy manifested to him, where the Bible says, the Bible often calls the mercies of God, the mercies, the sure mercies of David. And it is from this special mercy God manifests that mercy to his people. And it is this mercy that was procured by the Lord Jesus Christ when he offered himself on the cross of Calvary to satisfy the justice of God for all who believe in him. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ came on earth, it was for this special mercy for his people that he was saved, that he came to secure for it, for us. Because those that God will make to bring, will bring to himself, as I said, their sins have to be taken care of. So the Lord Jesus Christ came for this purpose, that for redemption, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life to be given, he has to come and die for the sin of all those who believe in him. Redemption, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life flow from the mercy of God through Christ for the eternal good of all those he saves. So that through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's mercy, this special mercy of God, is manifested to those that God will save. So that when he came to offer himself on the cross of Calvary, what he did satisfied the justice of God. So that in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's justice is satisfied when he died and took upon him the punishment for sin. So that God, the Bible says, God is just to forgive all who he will save, because the punishment for sin has been taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is out of this special mercy. This mercy, as I said, God manifests it to those that he chooses for himself. He doesn't show it generally. That is why not all people in the world will be saved. See, not all people in the world will be saved, because not all people in the world will taste this special mercy of God. Yes, all people in the world will taste generally the mercy of God, which he gives to this life, which is only for this life, health, strength, possessions, whatever it is to live in this temporal world, he gives to all. But this special mercy, where he manifests so that those that he chooses to bring to himself, their sins are forgiven, and that they are able to be brought into it, they're able to be justified, that's the word, to be made, to be called righteous, not from themselves, but because of his act of mercy, which, as I said here, for us, it is manifested to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even all the saints of old, like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, David, all their mercies were all looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all their sins God kept, and then all their sins were also put on Lord Jesus Christ. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, the sins of all the saints, both the past and the present, were put on him. You see, so that all the Old Testament sacrifices, which were types of, which were representing the once for sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ, all these sins of old were trusting in this which God gave, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to die, he brought to us, he secured a perfect sacrifice, which the Old Testament was figures, were types, which were foreshadowing what he was coming to do. So that all the Old Testament saints were looking up to the final sacrifice which the Lord Jesus Christ will come and offer. Because his sacrifice alone truly secures this mercy we are talking about. The types, the Old Testament sacrifices were just like in Galatians we are told, like a schoolmaster, or it was just a representative, which those who were offering will look up to the Savior, the future Messiah who will come, And as the Lord just right told the people of the Jews, their father, Abraham, whom they claimed to be their father, rejoiced to see his day, because Abraham had faith in him who was to come. Because he knew that the Savior, because the Savior was promised to him by the Lord, in the promise that through him all the nations of the world or the earth will be blessed. So Abraham himself looked onto this mercy which was to be secured for us in the Lord Jesus, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of God which the Lord Jesus Christ was to come and secure for us. So all the sins of all their sins were all kept, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to satisfy the justice of God for us, so that though they died the hope of the coming Messiah. And now we also, if we should receive this mercy, we receive it by looking up to Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ secured for us this eternal special mercy. And again, this mercy which we are talking about, special mercy of God, it is of course all will to bestow this on whom he will. We use the word, it is discriminatory. Unlike the things, the mercy, general mercy which he gives for this one, he discriminates. And it doesn't mean God is partial. It is his to give, and he chooses whom he will. In Romans chapter 9, verse 15 to 16, we are told this. Romans chapter 9, verse 15 to 16. So then, let me go back a little. Verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So we see that it is for this special mercy to be shown, God doesn't look at anyone. He chooses whom he will save. And it is his own will to give. You see? And it shows that how we must really play, seek such mercy from him. It's not something like how it rain comes and then it rain all over and we all enjoy it. No, this is a special one, and God chooses whom he will give. And as I said, none deserve even his general mercies. And this in particular, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, in concerning our salvation, the Bible tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You see, this is a special mercy I'm talking about, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So all that I'm saying about this special mercy is captured here for us, that for the Lord to save or choose any person to himself, it is according to his own mercy. It is according to his own will to show mercy, not by anything that anyone does. So that's why also the doctrine of faith and salvation, faith in Christ alone for salvation is based. So that for us to be saved, it must be purely by the mercy of God, Lord Jesus Christ. It is not anything that we do. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, the gift of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So, this special mercy of God, is manifested to only those that God will bring to himself. And again, for us, it talks about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we are, if we are one of those who have been saved, then we are those who have received from the Lord this special mercy. And then, the Lord himself calls us to come and taste of this special mercy in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 3. Time is not. They say that, oh, come, he that has come. He called all those who deserve to be forgiven of their sin to come. You see, to test after forgiveness is to test after this special mercy, because it's this mercy alone that really works for our eternal good. Forgiveness of sin, redemption, and all the blessings of grace, eternal life, so that when the world to come at the day of judgment, believers will not be condemned because of this mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sinners will be condemned. Sinners who have enjoyed the general mercy of God will be condemned because they were not forgiven of their sin. They He never tasted of this special mercy which God manifests to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, so that he invites all to come. Let me read the Isaiah passage and I'll be done. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 3. And this is the invitation of the gospel. That's the purpose of the gospel, to tell people that God has, God wants us to come and taste of this special mercy. Oh, everyone that tasted, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat ye, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So you see what I was talking about, the sure mercies of David. This what picture the special mercies of God, which David had, and all the saints of old, and believers in the Lord, believers in the gospel age, we also have the same. And it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have this. My time is gone, but I will have given some few this thing for believers, so that in times of suffering and trials, we see what Jeremiah was doing. He reflected on this special mercy, that this mercy never fails. So that though God has allowed them to go into difficulties, and yet God, he can remember how God has done by preserving them for himself. And this mercy of God that he shows to his people, it is that which will take us to eternity because of this free mercy which he shows us in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come, the day that the Lord Jesus Christ will come, all whom the Lord will bring as his people are those who have tasted of this mercy. You see, it's not those who have come to this world and enjoyed the things of this life. It is those who have come into this world, and though they live in this world, but they have come to repent of their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the only hope to receive this mercy of God, and this is the, for us as his creatures, this is the greatest and the abundance and the greatest of his mercy that we ought to seek after. God in his mercy will pardon all who will come to him and rest their hope of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us as we think through his mercies.